ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर भवती नैष्टिकी। श्रीमद् भागवतम एथ कैंटो चैप्टर एट द चर्निंग ऑफ मिल्क ओशन टेक्स 35 to 37 don't have a purport. So we go up to 38. I'll just read through 35, 36, 37 and the translation, and then we go to the verse 38. Tamalokha sura sarve kalasang chamrita bhritam lipsanta sarva bastuni kalasang tarasaharan. Upon seeing Dhanvantari carrying the jug of nectar, the demons, desiring the jug and its contents, immediately snatched it away by force. Niyamana sureis tashmi kalashe amrita bhajane vishanna manaso deva haring sharanam ayayu. When the jug of nectar was carried off by the demons, the demigods of Moros, thus they sought shelter at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari. Iti taddainam alokya bhagavan bhrittakamakrit ma shiddhato mitho artham ma kshiddhato mitho artham va sadhaishe sa mayaya. Okay, this we'll just read together. Iti taddainam alokya bhagavan bhritya kamakrit ma khiddata mitho artham vyah sadhaishe sadhaishe shwamayaya. Iti taddainam alakya bhagavan bhrittakamakri ma khiddato mithartabha sadhaishe shwamayaya. I'm reading 37. I'm sorry. Okay. So the next verse actually on the board. So I'll read the verse, the translation. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who always desired to fulfill the ambitions of His devotees, saw that the demigods were morose, He said to them, "Do not be aggrieved. By my own energy, I shall bewilder the demons by creating a quarrel among them. In this way, I shall fulfill your desire to have the nectar." So, text 38, which is on the board. Mithaha kalir abhut tesham tadarthe tarsa chetasam aham पूर्वम अहं पूर्वम न त्वम न त्वम इति प्रभो मिथकलिरभुत्तेषां तदर्थतर्षचेतसां अहं पूर्वं अहं पूर्वं नत्वं नत्वमिति प्रभो मिथकलिरभुत्तेषां तदर्थे तर्षचेतसां अहं पूर्वं अहं पूर्वं नत्वं नत्वं इति प्रभो Mithaha among themselves, Kalihi, disagreement and quarrel, Abhut, there was, Tesham, of all of them, Tat Arthe, for the sake of nectar, Tarsha Chetasam, bewildered in heart and soul, by the illusory energy of Vishnu. Aham, I, Purvam, first. Aham, I, Purvam, first. Na, not. Tvam, you. Na, not. Tvam, you. Iti, thus, Prabhu, O King. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. O King, a quarrel then arose among the demons over who would get the nectar first. Each of them said, you cannot drink it first. I must drink it first. Me first, not you. Please repeat after me. O King, a quarrel then arose among the demons over who would get the nectar first. Each of them said, you cannot drink it first. I must drink it first. Me first, not you. Demons. The nature of the demons are being characterized here. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is the symptom of a demon. The first concern of a non-devotee is how to enjoy his personal sense gratification at once, whereas the devotee's first concern is to satisfy the Lord. This is the distinction between the non-devotees and the devotees. In this material world, since most people are non-devotees, they regularly compete, fight, disagree, and war among themselves, for everyone wants to enjoy and satisfy his own senses. Therefore, unless such demons become Krishna conscious and are trained to satisfy the senses of the Lord, there cannot be no question of peace. In human society or any society, even that of the demigods, the demigods and devotees, however, always surrender to the lotus feet of the Lord, and thus the Lord is always anxious to satisfy their ambitions. While the demons fight to satisfy their own senses, devotees engage in devotional service to satisfy the senses of the Lord. The members of Krishna consciousness movement must be alert in regard to this point, and then their preaching of Krishna consciousness movement will be successful. Translation: O King, a quarrel then arose among the demons over who would get the nectar first. Each of them said, you cannot drink it first. I must drink it first. Me first, not you. So, the brief history of this anecdote or these pastimes, Lakshmi Devi left the demigods due to the Durvasa's curse. And the demigod, when the Lakshmi Devi disappears, then there is no prosperity, no opulence. Everything becomes very, very distressful and ominous. So the demigods were wondering what to do. So they approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then the Supreme Personality of Godhead suggested that you churn the milk ocean. How to churn the milk ocean? In order to get the nectar, Krishna advised them, you join hands with the demons and jointly you accomplish that mission. So Indra approached the king of the demons, Bali Maharaj. And the demons, consulting among themselves, agreed to get into this joint venture, an unusual joint venture. The joint venture among the demons and the demigods. But the demons had a hidden agenda. The hidden agenda was, well, together we'll churn the milk ocean to get the nectar, but when you get the nectar, we take it away from the demigods, we snatch it away, and we will enjoy it. So this is one of the first symptoms of the demons. They always have a hidden agenda. They agree to do something, but they always have a hidden agenda for their sense gratification. So, and then, they decided to churn the milk ocean. But churning the milk ocean was not an easy job. Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nithai ki jai. Jai Shri Shri Radha Rash Bihari ki jai. Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Jai Shri Shri Radha Damodar ki jai. So this mission could be accomplished only with a very special arrangement. Churning means you need a churning rod and the rope to make it go back and forth, to whirl, to twist. And so the Mandar mountain was made into the churning rod. Nagraj Vasuki, the king of the snakes, were made into the rope, churning rope. And so the demigods and demons collectively tried to carry the Mandar mountain. They uprooted the Mandar mountain, they were carrying it. But it was so heavy that although they were jointly carrying it, they could not. The mountain dropped. They dropped the mountain and many of them died. And seeing that situation, the Lord came to their rescue, riding on his Garuda. And with his left hand, he picked up Mandar mountain, placed it on Garuda and carried it to the milk ocean. So this is the potency of the devotees of the Lord. They are empowered by the potency of the Lord. That's why they can perform some inconceivable acts. Like what the demigods and demons, they are extremely powerful individuals. What they couldn't collectively do, Garuda just carried that mountain on his back with ease. Not only the mountain, the Lord also atop him. So the mountain, it was came brought to the milk ocean, and now they tried to place the thing to churn the milk ocean, but Mandar mountain sank. Because milk ocean is so deep that even Mandar mountain sank. Another problem. So again the Lord came to their rescue. He assumed the form of a tortoise And on his back, he placed the mountain. And this is how the demigods now could churn the ocean. And lots of things happened in between. When they were churning, the first thing that came is halahal, the most deadly poison. And that poison was about to destroy the world, destroy the creation. So Lord told Lord Shiva, Mahesh, you do something about it. So Lord Shiva took that poison and drank it. This is another sign of a devotee. A devotee, no matter how difficult or how dangerous the act may be, whenever the Lord wants him to do something, he just does it. So Lord Shiva drank the entire mountain, the entire poison. But the poison didn't go below his neck. He drank it, but it just remained on his neck. And due to the effect of the poison, his neck became blue. Therefore, Lord Shiva's neck is blue. And another name of Lord Shiva is Neelakantha, one whose neck is bluish. Then, one after another, things started to come up from due to the churning. Airavat came, Uchchaishrava came, Indra took them. Then some things were taken by the demons, some things were taken by the demigods. Then finally Lakshmi Devi came and she just approached Vishnu and stayed on his chest. And then finally Dhanvantari came. And when Dhanvantari came with the nectar, this is what is being described here. So, after such a lot of struggle, they churned the milk ocean and got the nectar. But now the demons have snatched, daityas have snatched it away. So demigods became morous. What to do now? So what does a devotee do when he is in difficulty? Another wonderful lesson that we are seeing here. When a devotee is in distress, what does he do? Take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the Lord also came in and assured them, don't worry, I will take care of him. So he is saying, the Lord says, do not be aggrieved, don't worry. By my own energy, I shall bewilder the demons by creating a quarrel among them. So this is due to the illusory energy of the Lord. The Lord bewilders the demons, creates a quarrel among themselves, which foils their purpose, which ultimately destroys them. Demons fight among themselves and destroy each other. Here, they are fighting among themselves and they just, the mission was foiled. And what was the cause of the fight? I'll be the first one to drink. Not you. So that is another tendency of the demons. They want to enjoy themselves, depriving everybody else. Not tvam. Not you. Aham purvam. I'll be the first one to drink. So in this way, they started to fight. Then the Lord came in his illusory Mohini Murti. An extremely beautiful woman. That form is inconceivable. How beautiful. When Krishna becomes a woman, no one can imagine how beautiful he can be. In that respect, in the Lalita Madhav drama, Rupa Goswami is narrating one incident. When Satyabhama was brought into the to Dwarka in the palace, You see, the Vedic culture is the men, say first of all, the women have the inner region of the palace. The women stay at the inner region. And the male members don't enter into the inner region during the daytime. So Krishna became eager to see her or meet her. But it's daytime, he couldn't just go in. So he assumed a female form to go in. Uddhav felt attraction towards that woman. And he started to wonder, I'm not usually attracted to any woman. How come I'm becoming attracted to this woman? I'm not attracted to anyone but Krishna. So how come I'm feeling this attraction for this woman? And then he considered, is this the form that bewildered Lord Shiva? So that is how beautiful that even a devotee like Uddhav, who has no attraction for any female form, he became attracted to this form of the Lord. When the Lord assumes a female form, Mohini Murti. And this Mohini Murti is a worshipable form of Maya Devi. In the final region of the universe, the region of Maya Devi, Durga Devi, Mahamaya, the Lord is being worshipped there as Mohini Murti. So this is how the demons naturally became bewildered. They forgot about the nectar. This is another thing about the demons. Their sex impulse is so strong that they forget everything else. That is the prime consideration for them. Sex desire. They just got enchanted by that form. And then that lady said, give me that pot of nectar. Please take it. Don't worry, I'll distribute it properly. You all sit in queue. Demigods on one side, demons on the other side. Daitas in one side, and devas in the other side. And as you know, so Lord started to distribute it to the demigods. The demons were so bewildered by his beautiful form that they even forgot about the purpose of the nectar. Only person that actually recognized that what's going on was Rahu. He realized what was going on. So he came and sat on the line of the demigods and he got the nectar. And as he about to drink it, Surya and Chandra reported, my lord, this is a demon. Oh, Sudarshan immediately cut off his head. The nectar, otherwise that what could have made him immortal, didn't go below his neck. So that is how Rahu became kind of immortal. And that's why he developed an eternal animosity with the demigod, with Surya and Chandra. And he swallows them. And that is the solar and lunar eclipse. But because he doesn't have a body, just swallows and it comes out. So, the thing that we must learn from this episode, or actually all the episodes, all the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the scriptures make one point time and time again. The same point that it is making time and time again is that surrender to the Lord and you will be successful. Surrender to the Lord, no matter how difficult it is, the Lord will come to your rescue. Don't worry about it, no matter how difficult the situation is. And on the other hand, we get to see, no matter how powerful, no matter how capable, no matter how famous and how influential the demons are, eventually they don't succeed. All the demons are very powerful personalities, but ultimately they don't succeed. They always fail. So that actually presents a very wonderful option in front of us. What should we do? Should you become a devotee or should you become a demon? And that is what we learn from Nittam Bhagavata Sevaya. By studying Srimad Bhagavatam, this is a lesson that we are reminded time and time again. Surrender to Krishna, surrender to Krishna, surrender to Krishna. And never go against Krishna's arrangement. That is what actually makes the distinction between demons and demigods. The demigods are those who are surrendered to Krishna. Vishnu Bhakta, the devas. And Tad Viparjaya, Asura. The demons are the opposite to that. The devas or divine personalities are those who surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the demons are those who don't want to accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead's arrangement. It's Krishna's arrangement. The demigods have been given the responsibility to take care of different universal affairs, and as a result of that, they're getting some facilities. But the demons, daityas and danavas, the consideration is, we are from the same family. We are actually cousins. Why this line is getting so much benefit and the others are not? We are not. They got heaven and we got to go to the lower planetary system. Sargaloka has been assigned to the demigods, and for us it is Sutala Loka, Atala Loka, Patala Loka. Why? So they are fighting with that. But they don't recognize that this is the arrangement of the Lord because of their attitude. When one is surrendered to Krishna, Krishna gives them all facilities. And when you don't surrender to Krishna, okay, suffer your or enjoy your karmic reactions. But the karmic reactions will automatically lead you to an intense suffering condition. So, lesson to learn, Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja. And never ever become averse to Krishna. Krishna bohir mukhoya bhogavancha kare nikatastha maya tare japutiya dhavi. The moment one becomes averse to Krishna, then the maya grabs him, imprisons him, and subjects him to all kinds of punishments. Whereas the devotees, in whichever situation they are enjoying. Apparently it may seem, oh, the devotees are suffering, but the devotees never suffer. Real devotees never suffer. Pandavas, apparently they were suffering, they went to the forest. But they were enjoying in the forest. They are having the association of the saintly personalities in the forest. And they are warriors, so they love to fight. There are so many opportunities to fight with the demons in the forest. And they are killing them one after another. So that is how they enjoy. Sometimes rich devotees' parents, when they come and see how their sons and daughters are living in the temple, they get very surprised. Oh, you are living in this way. In one room, 4 or 5 of you are just, and there is 2 toilets for 25 devotees. They get shocked to see the situation. But they want to take their sons and daughters back home. No, we don't want to go. Although at home they have such luxurious arrangement, we don't want to go there. So that shows where they are actually enjoying. The spiritual life is full of enjoyment irrespective of wherever we are. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari. I'll just take one or two questions for about 5 minutes. Yes, Revati Raman Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj, for such a nice, sweet, wonderful class.
Thank you.
Just seeing you, we are all delighted. Such a nice smile, and you know, so humorously in the class, but a strong message. Can you explain about Indra being a devotee, committing so many offenses again and again, and mistakes again and again,
yeah,
and being pardoned by the Lord? Can you explain, Maharaj?
Good, very good question. Indra, in spite of being a devotee, why does he commit so many mistakes, so many wrongdoings? You see, Indra is a devotee, but Indra is not a pure devotee. Indra is a karma mishra bhakta. That means he is a devotee, but he wants to enjoy. That's why he is not promoted to Vaikuntha. He is in heavenly planet. Okay, you want material enjoyment? Have material enjoyment. And in this respect, an example can be given. The demigods are like the employees, and the pure devotees are like the children of the father. So father is a big man, and he has employees. They are having wonderful life, you know, like high salary, lots of perks, you know, lots of facilities. But after all, you know, they're employees. But the son of the same person, he enjoys in a different way. So that's the difference between demigods and the devotees. Thank you. Yes?
This Samudra Manthan happened after Bali Maharaj giving to Vamandev or before?
What's that?
Samudra Manthan and Balidan. First Balidan happened or...
What else? But Okay. Whether Bali Maharaj is... Well, I'm stuck here. I don't remember. Do you remember? Yeah, that's true. Yeah, get it, yeah.
After Samudra Mathan, when Mohini Murthy came and gave this, you know, nectar to demigods, and she disappeared, that's where Devasutagram happened. And Bali was defeated.
No. Actual thing is, I'm sorry. Bali actually took over Indra's kingdom. And Indra was driven out along with the demigods. Then Aditi performed the Payobrata, and then Bamanadev came.
That is later on. But
yeah.
After this, Devasutagram happened.
No, he's asking that Bali Mardan, like when the Vamandev came, that came afterwards actually. Yeah. Yes. Thank you. And if there is one question from the Matajis, I'll take one question from them. Yes. Sita Thakurani.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. You said when we are not averse to Krishna, not you said, but when we are not averse to Krishna, we feel Maya is still attacking us repeatedly. We are attached to Krishna, but Maya's attacks come again and again and again. So what shall we do?
Surrender even more. You see, if Maya is attacking, then it is due to our own lacking in our devotion. We have to recognize that if we are becoming subjected to Maya's onslaught, it is our fault. Because we didn't submit to the Lord enough. We are not fully surrendered, therefore the Lord's illusory energy is bewildering us. But when we become fully surrendered or, you know, considerably surrendered to Krishna, then Maya comes also to test us, test our devotion. And a devotee, by the mercy of the Lord, always passes those tests and moves forward. Okay. So when Maya comes, then we have to say Krishna is testing us. Maya is testing us. How strict, how serious we have become in our devotion. Okay? Thank you. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila.